New York City police respond to more than 200,000 domestic violence calls a year. The majority of the perpetrators are men. A small fraction are convicted for abuse. An even smaller fraction serve jail time. The rest pay fines, do community service, or enter batterers programs. One in Brooklyn rejects the idea that abusive men need counseling. Instead, it views domestic violence as unabated sexism and challenges stereotypes about gender roles. WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez visited the program and has this report.
Each day, dozens of men show up at a nondescript office building in downtown Brooklyn to attend a so-called domestic violence accountability program. As they step off the elevator, the place resembles a doctor's office. There's a leather couch, a comfortable chair, and a front desk. The men are told to arrive early. Being late is not tolerated. The class is about to start, and some men talk on cell phones or with each other. Others sit slumped with crossed arms. On a recent Thursday evening, about 10 men showed up, the typical size of most classes. Nearly all are Black or Latino. Several look young and wear baseball hats and T-shirts. Rehabilitation is not the goal here. Brooklyn prosecutors say the program is a way to monitor the men. The classes are led by two instructors. At least one must always be a woman. Showing respect for a female authority figure is among the lessons to be learned.
Okay, I know I don't see a phone out.
Recording the class is not allowed, nor is interviewing the men. The program director is afraid they might use the interview to convince their partners they've changed. If they haven't, it could be dangerous. Dolores Hunter is today's female instructor. She's tall and attractive, and one could not help feel tense watching her in class as she challenged this room of men. When one man referred to a woman as a broad, she stopped him. When another insisted on calling all females girls, she questioned him.
And he was really struggling and trying to give me a definition of who is a woman in his eyes. And it would have to be somebody who's much older. So they never get the privilege of being called a woman. They're always a child in his eyes. So that gives him the opportunity to treat them any way he wants to, because he'll always have that power over them.
This once-a-week class lasts an hour and 15 minutes, and the men are expected to attend it for 6 months. The program only accepts men forced to come by the courts. Ted Bunch, the program director, says that's because men who come on their own tend to use the program to get a wife or girlfriend back.
Once she comes back with the kids, guess what? They stop going to the program. So we found that men do it as a tactic of control, like that, or they do it to circumvent the system. In other words, they know that, okay, I have a court case in 3 months, let me get into a program now and the judge will be more lenient with me. And of course, that's what happens. So that's why we only take mandated men, because we don't want to be a part of them manipulating the system.
On the side, Bunch has been running the nonprofit A Call to Men. It will soon become his full-time job. The group is a men's movement to end domestic violence. Bunch says the crime has always been couched as a woman's issue, and it's time to change that.
Calling it a women's issue serves men, because then men don't have to get involved in it. So we need to start reframing it, holding men accountable, and having the language be accountable. We have to start looking at our statistics in a different way. Like, if you Google domestic violence statistics, it'll say domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women. Well, that talks about the victimization, but it doesn't say anything about the perpetrator.
Bunch suggests it should read, the leading cause of injury to women is men's violence. During the class, what the men did to be arrested is never discussed. The instructors say it's irrelevant because the program is not about counseling and individual circumstances don't matter. Getting the men to understand sexism is their main task, and so they lead the class through a discussion on why catcalling is harassment. There is laughter as the men describe their favorite lines. Some refuse to see it as anything more than a compliment to women. Dolores Hunter surprises a stocky man named Patrick by getting up close and demanding several times that he give her a smile. She makes another man who looks more like a teenage boy stand up and turn around so she can take a look at him. He gets up slowly after his classmates pressure him, but looks awkward and unsure.
I do that a lot because it's not until they're actually feeling it can they understand what you're going through. So I want them to experience it, because then sometimes that's what penetrates. They'll never understand it the way we as women do, but it's close.
A male instructor tries to drive home the point by comparing the harassment a woman feels to the harassment that young Black and Latino men feel when approached by the police. He circles one young man wearing baggy clothes, cornrowed braids, and two earrings and asks, When a police officer says good morning, do you really think he's wishing you well? In a low voice, the young man answers no. Both instructors often compare sexism to racism. In the lively discussion, the men agree that both are about domination. Outside in the waiting room, a second class is about to begin. One man is 2 minutes late and begs to be let in. But Ted Bunch sticks by the rules.
So come back.
I came all the way from the...
I understand.
You see, we've been talking 5 minutes.
You're not going to get in. So I need to ask you to leave. I'm going to close the door and come back next week. And if you do that, there's no problem.
No, there is. It's not a problem for you. It's a problem for me.
Most men are taking these classes instead of going to jail. If they miss more than 3 times, they're supposed to serve 15 days. Last year, fewer than 60% actually finished the 6-month program. Bunch says the strict rules probably have more of an impact on the men than what they learn in class. He's a strong believer in holding men fully accountable and feels too many excuses are made for batterers. Yet he hesitates when asked if men should go directly to jail.
I have mixed feelings about it because they are mostly brown and black men. And they're already getting more of a consequence than a lot of white men get for the same crime. And I wouldn't want to further penalize them in the criminal legal system.
Before class comes to an end for the night, the men are asked to define a man in one word. The men struggle at first, and then one throws out accountable. Protector and provider follow. One man chuckles when another suggests respectful. To define a woman, the men offer babysitter, kind, pretty, and head of the kitchen. Hunter says in each class the answers are always the same, and so is her response.
These roles are not working. None of us. So all those things that we set those roles or those words in those boxes, we just not. None of us. But if we expect people to be or expect these things, this is where we keep running into trouble.
The men agreed doing more housework and taking care of the kids is part of what men do these days. And most agreed that women were their equals, at least in the workplace. At the end, some kept up the discussion. Others couldn't wait to leave and quickly lined up to get a paper signed. It's proof to a judge they've attended. Dolores Hunter says at first she felt angry at the men. Now she says she treats them just like she would anyone else. As they filed out, it was impossible to tell whether their views about women had changed.
Y'all gonna make me a good man. Trust me.
The program works on the assumption that the men likely won't stop being abusive. Ted Bunch's advice to women, assume you're getting back the same man, not the one you hoped or wished he would be. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.